everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's March 2020, and you're listening to episode 166, which is part one of a two-part discussion about a new generation of New Age gurus on social media. Today's discussion is about New Age guru Teal Swan. On this episode, I'm joined by Lindsay Medenwalt, who holds an MA in apologetics from Denver Seminary. She also has an MA in public administration, and she's an attorney with a JD from St. Mary's School of Law. In addition, she's the executive director for Mama Bear Apologetics. Lindsay has written an in-depth online exclusive feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Controversial Guru Teal Swan and Best-Selling Author and Astrologer Chani Nichols Bring New Age Teachings to the Social Media Generation. And you can read it for free online at our website, equip.org. Lindsay, it's good to have you on.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me, Melanie.
Well, I've always thought of New Age teachings as very 90s. We've kind of moved on from all of that, you know, or maybe even 80s and 70s gurus and, you know, just importing of Hinduism and various different teachers. And so it doesn't really seem like it seemed to me that it had died down. But a while back, maybe a month or so ago, I came across, I was listening to NPR and heard a whole piece on a woman named Teal Swan. And it was really a long piece. It was over 10 minutes just talking about her and how she's this kind of new age guru for people who are on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and so forth. And I had never even heard of her at all. Then I Googled her and I was like, wow, she seems quite provocative and fascinating. So why don't you tell our listeners, who is Teal Swan?
Yeah, I was with you when I went to seminary. I thought that the New Age was also gone, but I studied under Dr. Grotheis and realized very quickly that the New Age is still here and now. Teal is a popular New Age spiritual leader. Some have called her the Gucci Guru because of the pretty clothes that she wears. She's a really beautiful woman. And she's really mostly grown to fame because of the internet, and that's how she reaches her followers. Her whole hope is that she's going to help people heal from their traumas, and she gives a variety of different types of advice. So she helps people with relationships. She helps them with sexuality, with parenting. She dabbles in social justice and nutrition. And she really just has an opinion on all things, and she comes across as this very intellectual, knowledgeable person who has studied these issues very deeply and knows them very well. So that's really who Teal Swan is. A lot of her experiences are what feeds into her knowledge.
Well, I mentioned that your title talks about Teal as being a teacher, a guru for the social media generation. So who are some of her followers?
Yeah, so a lot of her followers are younger, but she does get some of the boomers as well. The internet has allowed these kind of gurus to explode in their popularity. And so it's really people who are seeking spiritual advice. And she has about 650,000 followers on Facebook, and she's reaching 675,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is kind of unheard of for someone in her field. So she's got more than 80 million viewers of her videos on YouTube. That means people are getting her information and they're watching it and they're rewatching it. She's got hundreds of videos up on all types of topics. Most of her followers are just average people looking for advice, but some of her most faithful followers, they call themselves the Teal Tribe. And they are people who are very dedicated to who Teal is, to what she teaches, and even some of them have the same alchemy tattoo. She's got an alchemy tattoo on her arm. Many of the people who belong to the Teal Tribe have actually gotten that same tattoo to show solidarity with Teal.
Now, she has a very interesting name. I think that it's kind of a... it kind of matches probably her teaching. And you have said in your article that she's endured trauma. What kind of trauma has she endured?
Her name certainly is interesting. Teal Swan just kind of reads New Age, doesn't it? Her trauma is really disturbing, and it's not for the faint-hearted. She likes to talk about her trauma abuse and how it started when she was six. Her parents are someone she calls liberal hippies, and they moved to this rural community. And apparently there was a cult that lived nearby. They knew that she had some issues, some things that they couldn't explain that were happening with her. And they really wanted to find somebody who could mentor her. So they found a guy who she refers to as Doc, and he began to spend significant time with her. It started almost pretty creepy, actually. He would take her from her bed in the middle of the night without her parents knowing, and remove her from her bed and take her with him. And she really just was there along for the ride to kind of see what this group was doing. She didn't know at the time that she had been deemed their new female leader. So they were grooming her to lead this cult. They were really concerned. Her parents were really concerned about some of her abilities. She claims to have several of what is called clair abilities. So clair abilities are basically psychic abilities that correspond with the five senses. So seeing and hearing, feeling, what you smell and what you taste. And she claims to have four of these clair abilities. So she says that she can feel things. That's clairsentience. She says she can hear things, clairaudience. She claims she's claircognizant. So she knows things without being told about them. And she claims that she's clairvoyant. So she has visions. And Doc was very intrigued by these giftings of this child. And so he wanted to use them to help this particular cult group. She says that she participated in several different rituals. And she even says that she witnessed seven child sacrifices, which is not just a claim that every normal person would throw out there. Seven child sacrifices seems like a pretty serious allegation against Doc and this group. And finally, she says that she was pimped out by this group at a local gas station to men who wanted to have sex with her beginning at age 12. So in response to that, she started cutting herself at age 11. And ultimately, she had this grand escape at age 19. And she left the group and everything behind and fled to Utah.
Well, I definitely do not want to say in any way that I do not believe Teal Swan and her childhood traumas, but I do want to mention that back in the 1990s, we wrote published an in-depth article by the late Bob and the late Gretchen Pazentino. It's called The Hard Facts About Satanic Ritual Abuse, if anyone is interested in that and why. At the time, we questioned some of those who had claimed that satanic ritual abuse or SRA. You can read our article, which you can read for free online at our website, equip.org. And we will link to that article also on the landing page for this episode. But that sounds like a lot of, definitely traumatic and unusual events that would be disturbing for anyone, especially someone who is a child. And so why did Teal not tell her parents about this abuse, especially, being sex trafficked? Or why did they not go to the police with these kinds of things? It seems very troubling.
It definitely does seem unbelievable. A lot of her allegations are just out of this world, to be honest. She said that she didn't tell her parents about it because she was told by the cult and Doc that if she told anyone, that they would be murdered, that she would that her family members would be killed. And she was walked through what she calls this experience, where she was laid on this table and she was told to imagine herself in her home. And she was walking through her home and she stumbled upon somebody who was hanging and they were dead. And so she was called to envision all of her family members murdered. And they said, "This is what will happen to your family if you tell anybody about this." So, I mean, as a 12-year-old, if you're told that, I can see why you probably would be scared to tell your parents. So as an adult, after she ran away, she did actually file a police report in 2005, but nothing ever came of the there. No charges were filed and nothing ever came of the police report.
One of the things that Teal Swan is known for is she's been pretty outspoken about past trauma in her childhood. So, did she ever see any therapists? And was Teal ever diagnosed with any kind of specific disorders?
For Teal, her experience is her expertise. So, because she's experienced trauma, she says that she understands people, and so she's able to help them. Yes, she did actually go to therapy. That was one of the routes her parents took to try to help her with some of the things that were happening with her that they couldn't explain. They didn't quite buy into the gifting excuse, so they didn't know that if she was actually clairvoyant or any of the other giftings that she claimed to have. So they started sending her to a therapist, and she actually saw 15 to 16 therapists before she turned 19. And they diagnosed her with a wealth of different diagnoses, including borderline personality disorder. She's also been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and schizoaffective disorder. So she's got some serious diagnoses that kind of underlie who she is. And that is something someone should seriously take a look at when they're evaluating her claims regarding psychology.
And so what does she say anything specific about the way in which she was diagnosed when she was in therapy? I'm not sure if she's in therapy now, but, you know, she does have so many topics that people would be interested about, you know, when she says, okay, she has topics on parenting and so forth, and considering what she went through with her parents. What does she say about how she was diagnosed?
Yeah, so she obviously disagrees with her diagnosis. She says that the reason why she was diagnosed is because she was misunderstood, and that therapists don't understand the Claire abilities. So they're going to take the things that the giftings that she says she has, and try to put them in to some sort of psychological diagnosis. She says that she was misdiagnosed. And she also believes that, you know, psychology has its place, but she hasn't officially studied psychology. She, as far as I know, doesn't have any degrees in psychology. She was also given Prozac and Abilify at one point. She was prescribed those medications, but she says they affected her differently than even the prescription warnings said they would. For example, for one of them, she said that instead of having suicidal thoughts, she actually had homicidal thoughts. And that was sort of unheard of for the particular medication that she was prescribed at that moment. So she's pretty tentative about psychologists and mental health professionals and their abilities to help people who have particular gifts.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Lindsay Mettenwalt, and today's episode is the first part in a two-part series about some New Age online teachers, and Lindsay has written a very in-depth article that's free at our website, equip.org, and her article is called "Controversial Guru Teal Swan and Best-Selling Author and Astrologer Chani Nicholas Bring New Age Teachings to the Social Media Generation." You can read it for free at our website, equip.org. And in addition, I'd like to invite you to subscribe to our print edition. You can do so at our website, equip.org. And the price is $33.50. But if that's not in your budget, please give us a tip if you would consider doing that so you can help us to keep this content free. You can do that at our website, equip.org. If you just go to the front page and you see magazine and you click that, there's a drop-down menu. You click Postmodern Realities Podcast, and at any landing page for any episode, you will find a link where you can be able to give us a tip. So we'd appreciate your partnership in helping us keep this content free. Other things you can do to help us promote our podcast is just tell a friend. Tell a friend about this podcast and let them know they can subscribe to it wherever they get their favorite podcasts. The other thing you can do, we'd really like it if you are a regular listener, would you please rate and review this podcast? You can do that at wherever you get your podcasts or at Apple Podcasts. If you search for our podcast, Postmodern Realities, you can go there and you can give us a starred review, and even better, a written review. That'd be great. We'd really appreciate that. And we'd like to thank you for your partnership so we can continue bringing these online free exclusive articles like this one, and also a different episode of the Postmodern Reality Podcast every week. You were saying earlier in the podcast that Teal Swan feels misunderstood because she has all four of the Claire abilities, which you went over. So why does she feel like she is misunderstood, and who is she feeling is misunderstanding her?
Yeah, so I think maybe she only believes that she's fully understood by the people she surrounded herself with. And that would be the Teal Tribe, or she has a couple of people who live with her, including her son and her husband. And they all kind of just have this pact together, and they stay together. I think her ultimate goal is really to help people with their suffering. So she tries to heal people's traumas, and she does this in a variety of ways. One of the strangest is the best word to describe it, things that she talks about is that she claims that she is actually from the star Arcturus. So she claims that she is an Arcturian alien. And when she talks about this, she says that she chose to become human so that she could help humanity with their problems. And she also talks about something called soul contracts. So apparently you're able to review some soul contracts that your soul entered into in your previous lifetimes. And she says that in her soul contracts, she actually told her Arcturian spirit guides not to intervene, no matter how horrible her life here was on Earth. So no matter how bad it got, they were not to intervene so that her experiences could help humanity. So she really believes that she's enduring these horrible things so that she can help others.
So one of the things I'm wondering is, why is she doing what she's doing? Obviously, she, on one hand, wants to help people, like you said, because she's gone through various traumas in her childhood. But why is she, you know, teaching people on the internet and kind of spreading her thoughts to, like, basically this younger generation? Because, I mean, she sure has some very provocative videos on YouTube.
Yeah, I think a cynic might say, or a skeptic might say, that she's doing it for popularity, and it seems to be working. She runs ads on her YouTube videos. She makes money that way. Her website has a shop where you can buy all types of things that she sold. So one aspect of that might be to make money, to become popular. Another criticism that an explanation that might be made is that she's trying to surround herself with people who will trust her. She herself has called herself codependent. And she says she surrounds herself with other people who are codependent. So that might be one of the reasons why she continues to make these videos. But in my heart of hearts, I truly believe that she thinks she's helping people. I think that she has entered this point in her life where she thinks that every video she makes and every article she writes and every book she contributes to or writes is going to help someone with their life and help people make their lives better.
Now, she has written a book, and the title of her latest book is The Completion Process. So what is The Completion Process?
The Completion Process book is her fifth book. She's written a few other books about spiritual guidance, but this one is pretty particular, and she says that it's been helpful for her to walk through this process, so she wants to share it with the world. The Completion Process is something that I would compare to EMDR, which is another valid technique used by mental health professionals to help people overcome their traumas. And the Completion Process is an 18-step process. So the person by themselves or with somebody who has been certified in the Completion Process will walk through each step in a row, and they will begin with, you know, creating sort of a safe haven. So a place that when they get to a really scary part in their memory, they can come back to it, and they can call themselves safe. And then they sort of find a way to trigger the emotion that is causing them distress. So whatever that does, they try to figure out what's triggering them, and they tell themselves it's okay to feel the way they feel. Then she walks them through the entire process of re-experiencing the memory, and it has to be done in this first-person perspective where they really feel what's happening. So, I mean, we could be talking about a kid experience, an adult who's reliving experience that they had when they were four, and they've got to go through that experience and really feel what their four-year-old self felt, and they're supposed to visualize everything that happened. And then ultimately the goal is to go through that and then acknowledge the feeling and then bring that four-year-old, for example, back with them to the safe haven and say, you're okay, and it's okay, you're safe. And that is supposed to erase the memory, essentially, and to deactivate it in their life so that it no longer affects them in their everyday world. It's pretty intense. It's something that she created on her own. She really thinks that this will help people. And she does, like I said, train people to be certified in this. But she says that it's not necessary to have a guide to participate in this, in the Completion Process.
Well, we mentioned early on that this is about New Age teaching, and she's a New Age guru. And it seems like she's pretty much immersed in the New Age. If you look at her YouTube channel, she has videos like how to open your third eye chakra, which has 211,000 views, or this is great. I've never heard of spirit mineral, but she has a video on that that's got 51,000 views. And then she kind of co-ops some Christian language, but she's not a Christian, obviously. And she's got a couple of videos. One I saw was called The Lesson of Christ and Lucifer. It had 83,000 views. And then one called The Real Holy Trinity, Mind, Body, and Heart. So obviously she is, you know, intermixed with all of her relationship advice and parenting advice and, you know, how to love yourself and those kinds of things. She is putting out there some New Age teaching. So what kind of beliefs does she have?
Well, if it's New Age, it probably is something that Teal believes in, to be honest. She really does cover the gamut when it comes to the New Age. So let's talk about God. She doesn't deny that there's a deity, but she will refer to the deity as source. Sometimes she will use the word God, but it's not, Christians need to be aware that when New Agers are using the word God, they don't mean God, the personal God that we believe in. It's a different God, even though they capitalize the G. She believes that God or source or the universe, sometimes is what she'll say, is omnipresent and omnibenevolent and consciousness and energy, and basically the universal truth of the universe is this oneness and this source. All that is God. And if that's true, and Teal will agree with this, is that we are ultimately God. And that, you know, is pretty typical New Age belief when it comes to God. And of course, we agree that God is omnipresent. We agree that he's omnibenevolent, but we're not God. We were created by God. We are his creation, and we are lower beings than God. We are not God. She also talks about oneness And this one was interesting. I learned something new about her every time I research her on the internet, because she has hundreds of videos. There's absolutely, I mean, you could sit down and watch them all, but you would be there for days. And some of her ideas just sort of come out of nowhere. But this oneness thing, she constantly is saying that oneness is the highest truth of the universe. Well, that is a New Age belief. We are all one. And once we realize that, we're golden. On the other hand, she has come out with a video that says oneness actually isn't the ultimate truth of the universe. And oneness is actually the ego that cannot be named, of that which cannot be named. So she says that once we give God or source a name, we've eliminated the possibility of actually knowing what oneness is. It's very confusing. And she acknowledges that she's contradicting herself. She acknowledges that. And it's and that's bizarre as well. She says that we should expect contradictions from our spiritual leaders. And the reason behind that is she says that the spiritual teachers are living on these different dimensions and experiencing life on all of these different dimensions. And so one truth in one dimension is not necessarily true in a different or higher dimension. So her truth really fluctuates, which is also a New Age ideal. Objective truth is really just part of the conscious becoming more knowledgeable of itself. And she even says that God or source is in constant pursuit of universal truth. So not even God has truth, according to her. But of course, as Christians, we know that objective truth is, you know, always true at all times and in all places, and God doesn't change, and he is truth. So God doesn't contradict himself, and his teacher should not contradict themselves. And so it's really bizarre, but they definitely align closely with the New Age. The other main New Age belief that she's got is reincarnation. She actually believes that we can consciously choose or not choose to be reincarnated. So this is a choice that we have as our souls are moving from lifetime to lifetime. She says that something that I didn't put in the article that is going to be here is she actually claims that she is a reincarnation of this Indian guru called Sai Baba. It's actually a really popular Indian guru. He's got statues, you know, all over India, and people worship him even to this day. So she says her memories of that lifetime are just as clear as they would be if you were reflecting on being 16 or 17. She can remember her life as Sai Baba, and she explicitly chose to come back and help people because she wasn't able to end suffering in her lifetime as Sai Baba. So now as Teal Swan, she is now working to continue that effort. The last piece that you mentioned actually earlier on was the Jesus and Lucifer bit. That one, I actually had to watch her video on the issue multiple times and read the articles that she's written on the topic. She believes that Jesus was actually Lucifer in disguise. So her idea behind that is that if we are going for unity and oneness, someone who is actually the Christ would not claim to be wholly separate or a savior. So that would be the ego playing in, and the ego belongs to Lucifer, not to Christ. So in her estimation, Jesus was actually Lucifer pretending to be Jesus, the Son of God.
So she has all of these various different New Age beliefs. What's her primary way that she is getting her beliefs out there?
Well, I'd say definitely YouTube. YouTube is her biggest, and this is true of the current popular gurus, I think, is that they're using the internet to their gain and to gain popularity. So she uses the internet to the best of her ability. She's definitely on social media, more on Facebook than on Twitter. She shares some pretty long posts on Facebook. She's got multiple groups on Facebook. Some of them are private, some of them are public. I joined the public page. It was mainly just people planning to get together and talk about Teal and her beliefs and grow in oneness together. So she reaches people on the internet. She has also written 5 books, and those are pretty best. I wouldn't say bestsellers, but she sold quite a few of them. And she also does speaking events. She travels around the world and she talks about things. So imagine just a room full of people who paid up to $200 a ticket to see her. And she sits on the stage, and these sessions can last up to 6 hours. And she feels the space and picks people out of the audience and has them come up on stage, and they just have a conversation with each other. And she tries to help them with whatever issues or baggage that they bring to the table. And then finally, she offers retreats. So she has a retreat center in Costa Rica, and it costs about $3,000 to attend for a week-long session. And people stay in these rooms that are designed by Teal. So she does something called frequency paintings, and those are paintings that she feels. And she will design an entire room around one frequency painting, and then you will stay in that room, and hopefully it will help your chakra, or it will help stabilize some of the issues that you brought with you to Costa Rica. And she's there live. She helps you through the process. She certifies people in the completion process while they're in Costa Rica. She also offers retreats in the U.S. And I just saw on her website this morning that she's offering something in Prague. So she's definitely making her way in the world as far as being and promoting herself as this spiritual guru.
Well, one thing about Teal Swan is that she has received a bunch of mainstream media attention. Like I mentioned at the outset of this episode, I first heard about her on the BBC, and specifically what they were talking about is various allegations that her teachings have led to her followers committing suicide. And she was also part of a 6-part audio documentary that Gizmodo did a couple years ago on her, and then there's a documentary film about her as well. So she has kind of made it into the news for a variety of reasons, and the main one about suicide. So why is this? Has she caused, and that's what makes her so controversial, is that people have called her the suicide guru and so forth. So what has made her controversial about the suicide, and has she in fact caused suicide of her followers?
Yeah, Melanie, this is really the crux of the issue when it comes to Teal Swan. If you Google Teal Swan suicide, you'll find all of those articles you just mentioned and the podcasts. And you'll also find a video that she has promoted herself called What to Do If You're Suicidal. She's been very open, as I mentioned in the previously, that she has attempted to kill herself. She's done so 4 times. And she really thinks that she understands suicide better than anyone else on the planet. So who better to give advice about suicide than Teal in her own mind? In this video, What to Do If You're Suicidal, though, she really says some things that are questionable, disturbing, and really seem like they could be harmful. In fact, on the BBC video, the interviewer talks to a psychologist who works with specifically in suicide. And the person says that what Teal says is absolutely dangerous to someone who is actually considering suicide. And the reason it's dangerous is because she has them imagine performing their suicide. So they are supposed to lie down on the floor and walk themselves through the suicide process, and they're imagining this and how they would kill themselves, and then they're going to imagine how they would be found and what their family members would, how they would react, and then they're supposed to imagine that they're watching the scene from above, and because that is what she believes will happen, is that their soul will then watch their previous life truly pass on and then choose to either reincarnate or not. One of the things she says about suicide in this video is that it is a reset button. Well, that coincides and corresponds with her beliefs on reincarnation. If you believe in reincarnation, then suicide is kind of like a reset button. And if you are treating life that way and you think you can start over, then yes, suicide is a reset button. But she also tells people that, you know, you can always kill yourself tomorrow, or you know what, even better, you can even kill yourself in 5 minutes, but what are you going to do with the next 5 minutes? And she says she tells people this because this is how she has overcome her own suicidality. And she has told herself, she started with 5 minutes. Okay, Teal, I want to kill myself. Okay, well, wait 5 minutes. What can you do with 5 minutes? And then that 5 minutes would grow to 15 minutes, and then a day, and then a week, and so on and so forth, until, you know, she wasn't wanting to kill herself anymore. So she truly thinks that this works because in her own experiences, she says that it's worked. This hasn't been received well, because imagining how you kill yourself just solidifies that in your mind and kind of makes it possible. The other thing is that she, although she does tell people to reach out for help, and it's all over her website now, every page basically gives a warning: don't come here for help. If you need immediate help, call 911 or the National Suicide Hotline. She's still offering this advice. As far as whether or not people have killed themselves, that one kind of is up in the air. So two of her followers who were on her Facebook group, and it was a closed group, came forth to the group and said they were considering suicide. And the resources that were offered by the group members were basically just Teal's resources, especially that video, What to Do If You're Suicidal. One of the young people who took their own life was, not being open with her parents about the way she was feeling, and, posted on the site, and they shared the video with her. And 2 weeks later, she ended up killing herself. And of course, you can't completely connect the dots between Teal Swan and her teachings and the actions of this young woman. And Teal, that's how she defends herself. She says, she's actually the reason why people haven't killed herself, so that she saved more lives than will ever be counted. And she finds it funny, unfortunately, that people accuse her of encouraging suicide, because in her brain, that's just not what she's doing. She's doing the exact opposite. She also claims she's not aware of anybody who's killed themselves from her groups. So I don't know if she's being honest in that estimation, or if she's just sort of trying to push it under the rug. And then finally, her biggest defense is that why is she being held responsible for someone's suicide when she's the one who is drawing these people who are unstable to her and giving them help, and then they kill themselves? So they're already unstable. Why is she being held responsible for their choices?
Well, one of the other reasons why that she's controversial is that some people are claiming that she's a cult leader. And you did mention that she has very, very devoted followers who, you know, refer to themselves as the Teal Army or the Teal Tribe or so forth. And I know that she specifically, I guess, because of all of those kind of accusations about her followers, she created a YouTube video that is literally called "Is Teal Swan an Online Cult or Not?" So how does she respond to this accusation that she is in fact a cult leader?
Well, she's definitely not happy about it, but I'm not sure anybody would be happy about being called a cult leader. She definitely takes offense to it, since she claims that she is a survivor of cult abuse. I recently watched an episode of Explained on the Netflix show Explained on cults. And in it, they featured Teal Swan. They didn't come right out and call her a cult leader, but they were discussing her after they laid out, you know, this, how you can identify a cult. And some of the ways that you can identify a cult are you have a charismatic leader. Well, certainly Teal meets that requirement. She is charismatic. She is She has this lovely, soft-toned voice. And when she speaks, she sort of draws you in and you want to listen to what she says. And she says all of these things that make you feel like the world is going to be okay and that you're going to get through it. And so you're definitely drawn to her charisma. The second thing is that she targets vulnerable people. So her videos are not for people who are at peace in the world. They are definitely targeted toward people who feel chaos and don't know how to deal with that in their everyday lives. So she's targeting this vulnerable group who need help, and she is offering her assistance. The other aspect that they talked about in this explained episode was, you know, offering retreats. And they actually compared this with Jim Jones and his cult leadership way back when. And, you know, the episode really features some graphic video of, you know, the mass suicide that took place with the Jim Jones cult. And the warning is really, we need to be vigilant when we're watching groups like the Teal Tribe. And we need to be aware, like, are these people being drawn in to do something dangerous? Because perhaps right now, they're not. Right now, they're just happy people together, and they're just learning how to deal with life together and coming up with a game plan on how to conquer the world together, meaning their life together, and really striving toward oneness. But there is a line that can be crossed. And the warning on this explained episode was, we need to watch and make sure that this line has not been crossed, because we could be looking at thousands of people, you know, being very traumatically injured by this person. So no, they didn't come out and specifically say she was a cult on the episode, but she's been called a cult leader all over the internet. And she does attract fervent followers. These people are truly committed to her and get sort of overwhelmed when they meet her in person. And they're big fans of her, and they really attach to what she's saying. But she, of course, denies that she's a cult leader. She refers to herself as a personal transformation revolutionary. She says she's doing things that have never been done before in the world of developmental trauma. And she's not out to get people. She's not out to hurt people. She's just sort of creating this personal growth community for people based on what she's created. So she's using her own experiences to help people, and she doesn't think that that should be called a cult.
So given all of these various different New Age beliefs that she has, that she teaches, you know, how should Christians respond to this? In other words, you know, especially people who might be younger and have friends that have like stumbled across her videos, because that's how it really happens a lot of times on YouTube. If you have a subject that you're interested in, even something really controversial, like I'm thinking of killing myself or something, it'll suggest to you all these various different videos. And so her videos might have been suggested or something like that. So how should Christians respond to people that they might know that really like her channel and want to follow her on Instagram or follow her on Facebook and so forth?
First and foremost, people should respond with gentleness and respect. We should come forward humbly, knowing that we don't necessarily have all of the answers in our own little minds. But we need to be gentle when we're talking about people like Teal. She believes her trauma is real. And whether or not it is, that's not for us to decide. But we need to come forward for her and say, you know, it looks like she may have endured some really bad things and she needs some help. And we need to approach her followers in the same way, with gentleness and respect. We don't know necessarily how they're feeling or what they're experiencing. But it is true that the New Age can sort of just creep into our lives. It's pretty clear from a recent Pew Research poll that Christians are falling for it. So 40% of Christians actually believe in psychics, and 29% believe in reincarnation. So this is not something that is immune in the Christian community. We're falling for it and we're watching these videos and we're maybe not following Thiel exactly, but we might be following other New Age leaders who are leading us astray from the truth. So another thing that Christians need to be doing is reading the word and reading scripture so that they can identify when untruth is being spoken, so that they can identify the falsehoods when they arise. Parents need to be vigilant. They need to be aware of what their kids are watching on the internet. They need to not be afraid to look at their kids' phones and read their kids' text messages and check in with their kids' teachers to see how things are going. They need to be an active force in their kids' lives. And finally, I think making people know that they can find help being there for the people in our lives and being true friends, true Christ-following friends, people who behave like Christ behaved and can gently answer questions that our friends and family members might have about Christianity, or maybe they stumbled on something New Age-like and they really liked it. And that could be what you mentioned at the very beginning, crystals. Crystals are making a comeback. People believe in crystals and that they work, and they will call themselves Christians who use crystals. And those two ideas contradict themselves. So it's not unheard of in Christianity to have some New Age people walking about. And we need to be able to identify those things. But ultimately, we won't be able to identify them if we don't know truth. And we won't know truth if we don't read the scripture. So that would be the ultimate advice, is to really guard ourselves with scripture.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Lindsay. So Lindsay, Starbucks or make your own coffee?
A little of both, but right now I'm on keto. So I can't do Starbucks all that easily without spending an arm and a leg. So my sweet husband makes me some lattes at home, and they're delicious.
Are you a neat freak or are you more messy?
Not messy at all. Actually, I would say sometimes I get a little messy when I'm working and my papers are just sort of spread all over the kitchen table as they are right now. But generally, I'm a bit of a neat freak.
Are you adventurous or cautious?
Ooh, super cautious, but I married an adventurous man. So he encourages me to step out of my comfort zone, and I try my hardest to say, to not say things like, ooh, are we breaking the law right now? I'm just not super adventurous.
And what is something that you have on your bucket list?
A trip to Europe. I think that's on a lot of people's bucket lists, but I just never have been able to go overseas, and I think it would be an incredible experience, particularly Germany. I'd love to see Germany.
Well, thanks, Lindsay, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest has been Lindsay Medenwald, and she has written an exclusive online feature article on two New Age teachers. And this is part one of a two-part series. And her article is called Controversial Guru Thiel Swan and Best-Selling Author and Astrologer Channing Nicholas Bring New Age Teachings to the Social Media Generation. You can read her article completely free at our website, equip.org.
We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Anagraph, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. And please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and please rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others see our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Anagraph, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.